Today we're going to look at the second part of Will You See God? Last week we kind of covered those that thought they were holy and were not holy, because we're talking about having a holiness of life where you can see God now, and a holiness of life where you will see God for all eternity. As I mentioned before, near the end of the message, we're going to talk about the fact that everybody's going to see God. It's just how you're going to see God. So we're going to stand right now. We're going to honor God as we read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you'll not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, then everyone undergoes discipline. Then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble to defile many." Father, today as we finish this message, may you be glorified. May we with all of our hearts seek to see you now, and to have the hope in our own hearts that we are going to be in your presence for all eternity. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We talked last week about the importance of personal holiness. Many Christians see no value at all in living a holy life. And we started defining what holiness was by first defining what holiness is not. I just want to hit real briefly just one of the little stories we talked about last week, and that was the story of the rich young ruler that came to the Lord and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the scriptures." He started naming off the laws, and the young man said this. He said, "All that I have kept since my youth. What do I lack?" And the Lord looked at the young man, read his heart. I can't read hearts very well. The Lord is excellent at it. He said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." That was the only thing he lacked. Sadly, the young man went away sorrowful. The Bible says because he was very wealthy. He wouldn't give up what he had here to gain what he could never lose there. I don't care if you're 20 years old and you're rich. How long do you get to keep that? Maybe 70 years at the most? And folks, it's gone. I don't care what you treasure on this earth. There's going to come a time when it's going to be gone. That young man was trusting his own morality. He kept the rules. He did what he was supposed to do. I want to compare him just for a minute. We didn't talk about this last week, but I want to compare him briefly to Cain. Cain wouldn't do what God wanted either. God asked for a sacrifice. Abel brought a lamb. The blood was spilled, and the blood takes away and covers sin and washes away sin, and Christ's blood takes it away. Abel offered a vegetable sacrifice. God came to Abel and to Cain, and he said, Cain, if you do what's right, didn't want to rub it in, but like your brother Abel, if you do what's right, you're going to be accepted. But Cain didn't do what was right. Instead of offering a sacrifice, Cain killed his brother. I want to ask you, compare Cain with the rich young ruler. Are either one going to be in heaven? Remember what Jesus said? How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But if that rich young ruler never came to the point of saying, Lord, everything I have is yours, guess what? He's just about in as bad a shape as Cain was. Folks, the Lord, when you are seeking holiness, he's going to show you what you're missing. Yes, maybe you keep the rules. Maybe you're in church every Sunday, and boy, everybody's, whoa, what a good Christian. They're here Sunday morning, they're here Sunday night, they're here Wednesday night, whoa. But secretly, behind the scenes, you're watching pornography on your computer. Are you any better off than the guy that doesn't come to church? When we had iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. This is important. Holiness to God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, this is how important God says personal holiness is to him. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And when we're talking about holiness, I'm not talking about you being perfect in every jot and tittle. I'm talking about you having a heart that's really seeking God, that's really seeking God's will. And when you fall short and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, because he promises to do that, whom the Lord loves, he rebukes. When we miss the mark, the Holy Spirit will come and say, Jerry, what you're doing is wrong. And then Jerry has a choice. I can choose to do what God tells me to do, or I can lock my heels in and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Folks, as long as I got those heels locked, I'm not going to see God. He's not going to reveal himself to me. Jesus said, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will show myself to him or her. When you really love God with all your heart, what you're seeking is to please him, number one. More important than pleasing myself, more important than pleasing the people dearest in my life, is pleasing my God. That's a holy heart. So today I want to talk to you about holiness positionally is the habit of being in one mind with God. Remember the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways? If we're ever going to get in line with God, we've got to change the way we think. We've got to learn what God's ways are for us, because God's ways for me as a particular person may not be the same as it is for you. I'll just give you one example of that. I was watching Texas Ranger. This would be back 10 years ago. Texas Ranger is a pretty good show. It's not bad. It's pretty moral. But the Lord said, Jerry, I don't want you watching that anymore. And I said, well, Lord, I really enjoy this. Why wouldn't you want me to watch Texas Ranger? He said, Jerry, is he handling problems the way that the Lord and the Bible tells you to? And I said, well, no. When somebody slaps him, what does he do? Well, he just karate chops them up. So for me, it was wrong for me to watch Texas Ranger, but it doesn't mean it's wrong for you. There are a lot of things like that. You can drink alcohol if you choose to. The Bible does not forbid drinking alcohol. But for me, I drink three beers and I'm the other side of the moon. I'm gone. And so for me, I have to say, if I'm going to obey the Lord and not get drunk, I just can't drink. And so I don't. Folks, you have to find out for you what works for you to keep you close to God. What do you have to do? What do you have to give up? What do you have to start doing to stay close, to stay holy? You have to learn to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. We have a whole world today that loves the things that God hates, and they hate the things that God loves. And that rubs off on all of us. We wonder, how come he makes the rules? Well, let me tell you why he makes the rules. He's our creator. He's our God. He's the high and holy one. He's going to judge you one of these days. Wouldn't it be nice if at the end of this year you knew all the rules on your taxes so that you could prepare and save as much as you could legally? You need to know the rules. Isn't it going to be wonderful if one of these days when you approach the throne of God's grace, he's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, because you knew what God's rules were and you tried to live by them. Anybody live it perfectly? No. Folks, we don't. I don't care who you're talking about. We all fall short. But that's where grace comes in. That's where mercy comes in. And the Lord loves to show it. In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. If you're a Christian, you are part of God's household right now. But in God's household, he has some people that he wants to use for special purposes. Other people are for common purposes. If you want to be one of those people used for special purposes for God's glory, you have to cleanse yourself from wickedness. You can't continue to do things that God says for you are wrong. You get to choose. I hope you understand, life is choices. The choices that you make your present life, and they're going to seal your eternal life. If you make terrible choices in this life, I know what the Lord says, but this is just a little thing. It was a little thing to Solomon to marry 700 women and have 300 concubines. It was just a little thing. But the Lord said, if you marry too many wives, they're going to take your heart away from me. And Solomon, the richest or the wisest man and the richest man that ever lived, wound up as an old man, an idolater. A man who saw the Lord face to face at least twice, wound up worshiping with his wives in their temples that he built for them, worshiping false gods. Folks, you say, well, it never happened to me. You're going to miss the boat entirely. It will happen to you. It will happen to me if in the little things of life I don't walk in obedience to God. Those little things multiply to be huge things. Anybody here ever know anybody that started out to be a drug addict? Totally controlled by the drugs, mean to his family. I don't know anybody that started out drinking alcohol to be an alcoholic. Nobody. I don't know anybody that started out robbing stuff and stealing stuff, small stuff, that ever wound up thinking, I'm going to wind up to be the greatest bandit that ever lived. Now, maybe there are some. I don't know. But I want to tell you, those little choices that you make are going to make your life. You can be a vessel unto honor, or you can be a vessel to dishonor. If you're in God's household, you're still going to heaven. But I want to go first class. I hope you do. I hope you got a heart that wants to know and walk with God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You get to choose. Do you want to live a life that's set apart for God's glory? Or do you choose to live a life, even as a Christian, that's all about this life and what I want, and the Lord comes second class? He gets what's left. Folks, it's so important you learn how to make those good choices. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I know a lot of the church today preaches that God is going to make you wealthy. God's all about what you want. I got to tell you, that's not true, folks. God is not all about this life and what you want and what pleases you. God is all about his holiness. And if you're not about that, you're missing the mark. Yes, if you receive Christ, you're going to heaven. But what a sad thing to go to heaven and never have agreed with God about most of anything. You're going to live your life how you choose to do it. Folks, that's not the way to go. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he tells us how to get our minds in sync with his mind. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Notice how many times we're hitting that word holy. It's everywhere in the Bible. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wouldn't it be something if you knew exactly what God wanted you to do and you put it into practice and you said, you know, this is pretty wonderful. So sadly, so many Christians won't even ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? Folks, it's the first question. It's the most important question. In any choice you're going to make, Lord, what's your will? Because even if it isn't what I want, it's what's best. And when you can come to that realization and begin to walk in that, you're going to live a holy life. And until you do, Jesus said, if a man will not die to himself, he cannot be my disciple. You'll never be his disciple until you determine, I'm not in charge of this life anymore. Christ paid a price to buy me. He shed his blood to save me. I am his. And until you get there, you're going to stumble all the way through this life. And it doesn't have to be that way. A truly holy person will endure to shun every known sin in their life. Folks, you cannot be holy and drag baggage that you know the Lord told you to get rid of. You've got to make some choices in life. We have a hearty desire to do God's will. Again, nobody does it perfectly. We all have those days when we make that choice. We go, oh, Lord, please forgive me. That's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. But if we do confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll do what? He'll not just forgive the sin. He'll cleanse it out of your life. That's true confession. Lord, I want to be done with this. In Romans chapter 7, 22, the Apostle Paul said, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Is that true for you? Do you delight in the things that God tells us we should and shouldn't be doing? Now, when we talk about God's law for the church, we're not talking about the Old Testament laws. We're talking about the things that Christ has commanded for his church today. Do you delight in those things? A truly holy person will feel what King David felt when he said this in Psalm 119, verse 127. because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Do you understand Satan is robbing people today? Satan is robbing Christians. Christians are making choices that take them down the wrong path. They know God says don't go there, but they're bound determined they're going to do it. And they wonder, why am I having such trouble? Folks, 90% of our trouble we make ourselves is choices that we make. A truly holy person is going to labor not only to live a life of faith found in Jesus Christ and gain his peace with Christ, but also to have the very mind of Christ formed within themselves. I want to think Christ's thoughts in my heart. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he tells us how to do it. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Again, I am never going to be completely like Jesus Christ in this life. The next life, I'm going to be perfectly like him. But in this life, that's my number one goal in life, because that's Christ's number one goal for his children. He wants you to be just like him. So we're going to hit a few things that would entail. What does that mean to be like him? Number one, a truly holy person will bear with and forgive others. I can't tell you how many Christians I know that are angry with people all the time, upset with people all the time, and will not forgive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So many claim to be followers of Christ, but Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Let the Lord examine your heart just for a few seconds right now. Is there anybody in your life that you're still angry with, that you still have not chosen to forgive? Folks, if there is, this is an area of your life that if you're ever going to be a vessel unto honor, you've got to deal with. You can't just let that simmer on the back burner. I'll never talk to that person again. I don't want nothing to do with that person ever again. I'm never going to forgive what they did. You're not walking with the Lord. The Lord forgave you. Think of the number of sins. I can't even tell you how many sins I've done. Probably in the millions. I don't know. But he's forgiven it all. The Bible says when we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. You were at one time in your life an enemy of God, and so was I. He forgave me. The truly holy person is going to want to love God or love people with the same love that God gave them. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what are people looking for in a Christian to say, now there is a Christian? Jesus said it's his love, not your love. My love doesn't last. My love is if you treat me right, I'm going to treat you right. But man, if you cross me, we're going to have trouble. God's love is not like that. In fact, God gives us the definition of his love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is a definition of God's love that he wants you to have in your heart and to live out in our lives. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It does not self-seeking. It does not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. When you looked at that list of God's loving traits, how does it match up with the way you live? How does it match up with how you treat others? You know, the Bible says we're not to speak evil or wrong about anybody. But you get together with some Christians and all you're going to hear is, oh, this is what they did. This is what's wrong. This is what they... Folks, that shouldn't be part of our lives. We should really walk in the love of Christ. Truly holy person is going to be willing to minister to others' needs. We talked about Brenda today, going to the soup kitchen and serving. Every one of us should have a ministry someplace. Something you're doing for Christ's glory to serve others. Every single one of us. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He died so that you could die to sins and live for righteousness. For we were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Folks, we need to get used to this idea that our God wants us to live a truly holy life. And it's not hard. It isn't following 22 sets of rules. It's walking with the shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, loves you. And if you'll just keep your eye on him, it's so easy to get distracted. Satan and this world and your own flesh are constantly trying to get your eyes off the Lord and onto what's going to please you here and now. We need, as God's children, to keep our eyes steadfastly kept upon our Lord. The sheep that goes astray, why does he go astray? Because he sees some really green grass over there. Yes, the shepherd's here, and the shepherd's saying, this is where I want you to stay. But there's green grass right over. I can see it. But I can't see that and keep my eye on the Lord, but that's so attractive. Folks, that's what Satan's doing to you. Is sin pleasant? Yes, it is. It's pleasant for how long? For a season. But then you reap what you sow. Is it pleasant then? When you see you've lost your family, when you've lost your health, when you've lost your job. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Yes, there's green grass right there, but there's green grass right here too. Because the Lord's my shepherd, I won't want. He supplies what I need, but I keep looking there. Folks, if you're going to live a holy life, you've got to keep your eyes centered on God.